This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, so then we're ready to go. I just want to move this phone because there's a lot of static here. That's a little better. And what we're focusing, what we're going to focus on today is still on Daf Hei Amud Beis. I'm going to pick up on where we were, and we were interrupted in the last year. And the piece that we're going to be dealing with is what's wrong with her saying whatever has to be said at the time of Kiddushin. We understand that he has to do the Kinyan. We understand that he has to acquire something of hers. She's giving up something, and we've established what she's giving up is her freedom of choice to marry anybody she wishes, and she's giving her exclusivity to this man. And in order for her to give that up, she needs to receive something as a Kinyan Kesef, and therefore he has to give her something of value. We understand that. The question is, if the role of a statement, whatever that statement is, and classically the statement is Harayat Mekudeshisli V'taba Zu, Kesef Zeh, or whatever, if the role of that is clarity of purpose, clarity of intent, as in fact we did learn according to the view of the way Reb Baruch Ber explained Reb Chaim right at the beginning of the Masechta, that really the purpose of the Dibur is for clarity of intent, then what difference does it make who makes the statement? As long as an observer, that is an aide, watching this and hearing what's being said, can see very clearly and give evidence very clearly as to what occurred, and there's no ambiguity about it, why do we care whether he says it or she says it? That's really where the Gemara is going to. And it's this Gemara that perhaps is the first time that we see clearly in the Gemara the idea that this phrase is much more than clarity of purpose. And I've been moving along that way right through the Masechta. You'll remember that the statement is more than just clarity of purpose, that there's almost a neder and a hektish kind of meaning to the statement. But that's what the Gemara is exploring at the moment. And it's the assumption that probably when it asks the question of what happens if she gives. And that question is articulated. As it works through the Brisa in the middle of the Gemara, but it comes to the conclusion at the end, in the first thick lines of the Gemara on Daf Hei Amud Beis, that either it isn't a valid Kiddushin at all, that Nosan who in the second thick lines, Omrohi Nase Kemisha Nosnohi Omrohi Veloyahavi Kiddushin, that if he gives and she says, it's as if she did the whole thing and it's not Kiddushin. Or at the very best, it's a Sofek Kiddushin. If he gives and says it is Mekudesh, she is Mekudesh. If she says and gives, it isn't. But Nosan Huv Amrohi, if he gives and she says, at the very best, it's a Sveikehi V'chashinan Midrabon. At the very best, this is a case of Sofek Kiddushin, and we would have to be Choshesh require a Get Midrabon. So we need to understand what the problem is. If she says, and that's aggravated by the fact that we actually don't have to have a statement of intent at the very moment of the Kinyan, because we learn further on in the Gemara that if they're talking about it, if they're just talking about Kiddushin, and he gives her the kesef or a ring, so as we said last week, I think before we were cut off, if the two of them are busy talking about setting up house together and what kind of education they would want for their children, and so on, and in the middle of that discussion, they're not engaged or anything, but they're talking that way, and at that point he pulls out a ring and in front of witnesses he gives it to her without saying anything. Then the Gemara further on, the next Amud says she's Mekudeshes. That's a valid Kiddushin. So we see that there's not a need for a specific phrase at the moment of giving of the ring. And if that's the case, what difference does it make if she says it? And what would be the case, the Rishonim ask, and we're going to learn the Rishonim and Stai today. What would be the case if they were talking about Kiddushin, he then pulls out the ring, so he doesn't have to say anything. And then instead of saying nothing, she pipes up and says, Hare ani mekudeshes lecha. So without her statement, it would have been a good kiddushin, because they were talking about the education of their children and the furniture of their house. He then gives her a ring. That would have been good. Does her piping up and say what she says damage the kiddushin and spoil it? Or is it still a valid kiddushin? Those are the things we're going to be looking at today in order to understand them. And it all revolves around the ki yikach, which is the source of it all. And you remember last week we defined the word ki yikach, that he needs to take ki yikach ish isho, that there needs to be the act of taking. And we define taking in quite an expansive way. And we said taking doesn't just mean acquiring. The word lokach can mean acquiring. But the word lokach also means persuasion. We spoke about several examples in the Chumash where lekochoi bidvorim, Rashi points out, when you talk about taking another human being, you're talking about taking him with words. And that's a phrase we use in English as well. We say, I was taken. What does that mean? Somebody talked me into it. Somebody persuaded me. I was taken. It wasn't a good deal. I was taken. So we use that in English as well. The word lokeach means both I have acquired and I have taken, I have persuaded. So we said the best translation or explanation of the word lokeach in the Kiddushin context is a man seduces a woman into giving herself to him. That really is what lekicha is. So there's a transactional piece. She gives herself to him in exchange for something. And there's also the romantic piece, the seductive piece that is there. He actually persuades her. And as we mentioned and right at the very beginning of the Masechta, that the various kinyonim of Kiddushin are more than just kinyonim. They are indicators to us as to the very core of the relationship. And you remember we talked about Bia, about the nature of the physical relationship, and Shtar, that there needs to be a communication, a verbal relationship between them, and there needs to be Kesef. But here in this Ki Yikach, we've got the essence of the ongoing relationship, that it's up to the man at all times. It's hard work for the guy. It's up to him at all times to be taking his wife, and that means persuading her, seducing her into giving herself to him. And technically, she gave herself to him at the beginning, and that's the end of it. She's his wife. But that's not the kind of marriage and the kind of kiddushin that we want. We really want the ongoing regeneration of this relationship. And that means that there's a lot of meaning in this ki yikach. And the way this Gemara just seems to be talking about a technical thing, for Omra and Noson, Huv, Omra, he, and so on. But in this, we're really getting down to the soul of the transaction. And it's an ongoing transaction of seduction. Seduction using not only words, but also generosity. And seduction using not only generosity, but also words. Because words alone are cheap, and generosity without the wording is just an empty action that doesn't mean anything. But when the man is able to frame his generosity with beautiful words, he can capture her heart, and that's what kiddushin is. Lokeach, lekicha is capturing the heart of the woman, captivating the woman, capturing the heart of the woman. That's something that needs to be an ongoing dimension in their relationship. We're not talking here about what she needs to do, but that's what his obligation is in this whole area of ki yikach. That being the case, we begin to understand that there's a little flaw when she says the statement. Formality, and it was just for clarity of intent that we needed to know what was going on here. So he gives her a ring, and she needs to say it so that we know that something's going on, and we need to know, or he needs to say Hare ad Mekudesh, so that we know what's going on. Then it wouldn't be such a big deal if she said the formula. It's not just a formula; it's part of the Maisa Kicha. It's part of the whole action that's taking place here. That he's using his own words and his own money in order to captivate her. And if she steps in and says, Hareini mekudeshes lecha, that might be very, very good from an egalitarian perspective of equal rights and all of that, but it takes away from the romance and it takes away from the effectiveness of the kinyan. This is a moment where he has to shine. This is a moment where he has to step forward. This is a moment where he has to give of himself verbally, and some men find it much easier to give money than to give something to give words, to actually say something emotional in a convincing sort of way. So that's why both of them are required. For some people, it's easy to say something; they just say it, they don't mean it. And for others, it's easy to put their hands in their pockets and give something, but it's not easy for them to be vulnerable and to say something to the woman. They're exposing themselves to the possibility of rejection, because he could say "Hare at mekudeshes li b'tabazu," and she could say "No thanks" in front of the Edim or in front of 500 people who are watching. She could say no. So there's a risk of rejection. He has to do it. He has to step up, and there has to be that gesture ongoing every single day of the marriage, that he makes himself vulnerable, he exposes himself, and that way builds the trust, and he gives of himself to her and gives of his financial resources and material resources to her. So when she does too much of that, when she's the one who's doing that, that actually damages the dynamic of the relationship to a large degree. And there's interesting work, just as an aside, that's been done recently on the fact that women's salaries are now catching up to men's. In other than in a home, the woman is now earning closer to what the man earns, and in some cases in excess of what the man earns. And the surveys recently revealed that women are unhappy with that. Women want to earn, they want the freedom to be able to go out and work and have their own source of revenue, but they don't want to be earning as much as their husbands. They want the husband to be the primary provider. And one understands, because that's part of the kicho. That's part of the persuasion, the ongoing persuasion. And just as there has to be material ongoing persuasion, so there also needs to be emotional ongoing persuasion. So now let's look and see, what does it all revolve around? It revolves around this word kicho. And we have Rashi, who defines what the problem is with the woman saying it. And we're looking at the Rashi. Noson hu, so it's right in the middle of the page of Rashi. Noson hu, if he gives, dami lechi yikachish. That's good, because that's ki yikachish, a man that makes the acquisition. So if kicho is a transaction, he has to be the giver. No problem with that. What about the omro hi? Dami letikach isho leish. And now the wording in Rashi there is not very clear, and in other gerses of Rashi the wording is a little different. What it means is, in the other gerses of Rashi, it's dami letilakach isho leish. This is similar to a woman being taken by a man. So that means that it's not as active. It's not ki yikach. It's not him taking her. She gets taken. She gets married, and it's by him, but it's passive. He's passive in it. She's too active. There are two actions that need to take place here. He has to give her a ring or money, and he has to say something. In this case, he gave, but he didn't say. That's not a proper ki yikach. In that situation, there's a little bit of it which is from her side, and therefore there's some passivity on his side, is what Rashi says. Now, the Rashba learns it a little differently, and I have sent the Rashba to you. So let's have a look at the Rashba. That's the first of the pages that I sent to you last week. And it's at the bottom of the right-hand column, where he brings Rashi. He says, Perish Rashi, the dami lechi tilakach isha leish. Uchvar Kasavti says the Rashba, I've already explained on Daf Beis, Tilakach is not a problem. The Torah could have written the Tilakach. There's not an inherent problem in writing Tilakach. Tilakach doesn't mean that he's not involved. It just means that she participates by her agreement, by her acquiescence. And that's all it means. So that's not the problem, that it's not Tilakach. This is how I understand the problem with a woman saying, with Noson Hu Omrohi, where she says Harayani Mekudeshes Loch. The Chiyikach Mashma Shekol Halikuchin, the Hainanesino Ve'amiro, to Luyin Boy. Says the Rashbo, Chiyikach implies that the entire Kiddushin must be dependent on him. He must be active in the whole thing. What is the whole thing? It has two parts. It has Nesino and it has Amiro. And he has to do both. Otherwise, it's not Chiyikach. That's not called ki yikach. So the Rashbah seems to be going along with our definition of ki yikach, that the amira is part of the act of kicha. Uchashe omro hi, havale ki takiyach es atzma. That if she says it, it's not ki yikach, but ki takiyach. She's making herself get taken. She's being too active in this process, and it's takiyach, is that hifil form. She's making herself, she's the cause of her being taken, and that's a problem. If she's the cause of the, so bear in mind, this is going to be very important for our discussion as we move forward today. Just bear in mind that takiyach is hifil. Hifil is the causative. That means that she has triggered the kiddushin, and that's not okay according to the Rashbah. She triggers it by saying, Hare ani mekudesh eslocho. Although he's giving the ring, it's her statement that triggers it, and therefore takiyach, she's causing the transaction to take place, although she's not doing the lekicho. He's doing the lekicho by means of the ring, but she's causing the lekicho to take place, and that's not in order. That's the shita of the Rashbah. Let's look at the Tosfos HaRosh, the next one. Tosfos HaRosh says, let's find it here. It's the bottom left-hand paragraph. So it's the last paragraph on that page, and we'll go over to the next page. Ha'nosun hu v'amrohi lo have a kiddushin. Why? Dechi yikach mashma she'al yedei diburo unnesinoso loikcha. That it's kiyikach implies that it must take place both by his speech and by his giving. Ke'odom halokeach mekach, like a man who's about to buy something, shekoytetz domim v'noisnom. He fixes the price. There has to be the buyer is actively involved in the negotiation, and he's the one who determines at the end of the day the price, because he's not going to buy if the price isn't right. So the Tosfos HaRosh at this point makes it similar to a regular commercial transaction. She is causing herself to be taken. So the Tosfos HaRosh seems to be going the same way as the Rashbah. It's not the problem is not tilakach, it's not his passivity. Because that would be a good kiddushin if it was just a tilakach problem. We said much earlier that the only reason it doesn't say ki tilakach is because it wants to teach us a principle in Derech Eretz, and that is that the man should pursue the woman. That's the principle of Derech Eretz. But were it not for that, it could have said ki tilakach. It could have put it in the passive form. It doesn't matter whether it's a woman needs to be taken by a man or a man needs to take a woman. It doesn't tell us any halachic difference other than the ethical principle of the Derech Eretz principle of a man pursuing a woman. But there's nothing inherent in the word tilakach that would be problematic. And so the Tosfos HaRosh, like the Rashbah, disputes Rashi's view that the problem is that by her saying it, it makes it like tilakach instead of kiyikach. Then the Tosfos HaRosh asks the question, v'im toma, nosan hu v'omrohi, if he gives it and she says it, amai lo havi kiddushin, why does that not work? So I understand the Gemara says it doesn't work, but why not? Even if he gives it to her in silence, as long as they were discussing kiddushin, then it's a valid kiddushin. So clearly from that, says the Rashbah, as this is the Tosfos HaRosh, clearly from that we see there's no magical quality to the statement of Arayat Mekudeshesli. It's clearly just to clarify intent. And if it's just to clarify intent, what does it matter to us if she's the one who clarifies the intent and he participates, demonstrates his agreement by means of his action? As long as he does the kinyan, what do we care? Because even if the clarity comes from some statement that was made generally in their conversation earlier on, that would be fine. In fact, even if he wasn't that active in the conversation, she might have been talking about the furniture of their house together and so on. And he was just saying yes and agreeing. That's what they were discussing the matter. So even if he didn't really say the word marriage, he didn't even say getting together, that would be sufficient. So why should it matter if she says it and he doesn't say anything at all? If she says, Hare ani mekudeshes lecha, surely that's even a greater level of clarity than if they were just discussing their future. V'yesh lomad ein achinami, answers Tosfos HaRosh, ein achinami, that's true. K'shidiber imo t'chilo alis kekidushin v'noson lo b'shtike, if they were discussing the marriage in general, and then he silently gave her a ring, as, now we move on to the next page of the Tosfos HaRosh, al pi diburoi noson, then he gave it by means of his own dibur. Aval hocham mayri sheloi diber imo kodin l'sina. But here we're talking about where they didn't speak before. Elohi omra loi ten li monev akadesh anilach. She says, give me a ring and I will become your wife. For noson lo, and he gives her the ring al pi diburo, by her speaking. That's what's wrong here. So she's the one who speaks, he says nothing. In the case where they're discussing the marriage before, he's active in that discussion, and as part of that discussion, he gives her the ring. That's sufficient action. But if he gives her the ring, that's only if he does it in silence. But here, where she instigates the whole thing, and she initiates the whole thing with her dibur, that's not sufficient. That's kiyakiyach. She is, again, being causative. Her statement is causing it. It would seem to be, therefore, from the Tosfos HaRosh, that if they were talking about marriage, and she then let's say they're talking about marriage, she then says, "Give me a ring, and I'll get married to you." And they've been talking about marriage, and he does. That might be okay, because the Tosfos HaRosh says here very clearly, Aval hocha mayri, this Gemara is talking specifically sheloi diber imo kodim lesina, that there was no prior discussion. Elohi omra loi, she initiated the conversation. There was no conversation about marriage until she suggested it. And then he responded by giving her the ring. That's kitakiyach. But enachinami, if they were in fact talking about it before, then what she says is irrelevant. Because the fact that they were talking about it means that he, in that conversation, initiated the idea and carried the idea out and executed on the idea with the ring that he gave her there afterwards, and that would have been good. So let's just summarize, let's have that very clear, that if they're talking about marriage and then he gives it, her a ring without saying anything, that's a proper marriage, that's a valid kiddushin. But HaRosh goes further and says, and if he gives her a ring, and however, let's go the other side. However, if they were not discussing marriage and she initiates the discussion and he responds with a ring, that's not a valid kiddushin. According to the Tosfos Rosh, in the third case, which is they were talking about marriage before, then she says, well, we're talking about marriage. Hare ani mekudeshes lot, give me a ring and I'll be yours. And he gives her the ring. That's okay, says the Tosfos HaRosh. That's a valid kiddushin. Not so the Tosfos Rida. Now we go to the last piece that I sent you. The Tosfos Rida on Davov and with Aleph, it's in the middle of the second paragraph of Tosfos Rida, says, V'kach yesh lo manami benoson hu v'omro hi, that in a case where he gives and she says, d'lo mibaya k'she'en medabar imo leske kiddushel, certainly if there's been no conversation taking place before, certainly that's not a valid kiddushin. Elo afilu b'medaber imo nami, but even if he is speaking to her about matters of kiddushin, I havi yoiv lo v'loi omar klum, loi hu v'loi hi, havi kiddushin geburim. If there was no other conversation, they were talking about marriage together, having a lovely conversation, having a cup of coffee, talking about if they had children, what school they would go to, if they have a home, what furnishings they would get, and then he pulls out a ring and gives it to her without saying a word, that's kiddushin. However, if after talking, hashtod amrohi, but if they were having their coffee, talking about marriage, and then she says, hareini mekudesh islach, einan kiddushin gemurin, that's not a proper kiddushin. The nirin hadvorim shebedibur ha'ishu gomru ha'kiddushin v'anan beinan shi'i gomru bedibur ha'ish. Because it looks as though the matter has been finished by the woman instead of by the man. Now you'll notice a slight difference in wording. So firstly, before we go to the wording, the Tosfos HaRid and the Tosfos HaRosh are saying opposite things. The case, they're both talking about the same case, they're concluding with different halachas. The case is, they were having a conversation about marriage, she then said, I'll be yours if you give me a ring. He responds and gives her the ring. The Tosfos Rosh said the problem is, since the problem with Omrohi is that she doesn't initiate, in this case she didn't initiate. It was initiated in the earlier conversation, so there's no problem with that. So the Tosfos read, it's not about initiation, it's about Gemira. It's about who does the final deed. Who signs the deal? Who ends the discussion? And here, by her saying, Hareini Mekudeshes Loch, she's coming in right at the end and finishing it all off, bringing it all together. That's not okay. That's not valid. So the Tosfos Arit would say, unlike the Tosfos Arosh, that even if they were having a conversation before, if she intervenes with Hareini Mekudeshes Locho, and he pulls out the ring and gives it to her, that would not be a valid Kiddushin. So those are the two views. What I want to try and explore with you, or explain now, is a view of the Chazon Ish, who aligns this machlokes, Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos Rid, with the machlokes Rashbo and Rashi, around what the problem is with the word ki yikach and ki tilokach or tzakiach or so on. And let's try and see if we can understand what the Chazon Ish wants to say. Let's look at it this way and say, in the case, when we're just talking about one case now, we're talking about the case where they're having a conversation over coffee about their future as a couple, that there hasn't been kiddushin. She then says, Hareini Mekudeshes Lecho. He gives her a ring silently. So the joint conversation followed by her statement, and he gives. Was her dibur critical? In other words, what would have happened had she said nothing? No, her dibur was not critical to the whole process. On the contrary, it might have damaged the process. Because had she said nothing, there would have been a kiddushin without her. Had they been having the conversation and he took out the ring, that would have been a kiddushin. The kiddushin would have been chal. So according to the Rashbo, who says the problem is that she must not initiate the kiddushin, in this case, she certainly didn't initiate the Kiddushin, because in fact, without her, the Kiddushin could have taken place. She just added something on. She just added some words in that were unnecessary. She added a redundant phrase. The fact that they were talking about Kiddushin, and he gave her a ring, that's sufficient. She didn't have to say Harayat Mekudeshesli. So she didn't initiate it. It was initiated by their conversation, in which he played an active part, and it was concluded by his giving the ring. Her statement is right outside the picture. It plays no part in that whole scene. That's how the Rashbo would learn, because the Rashbo says the problem with Takiach is initiation. We don't want her to initiate. And you will have noticed, as we pointed out when we learned the Tosfos Arosh, that he too says the problem is Takiach. He uses the same wording as the Rashbo. So the Tosfos Arosh clearly goes along with the view of the Rashbo and makes the issue one of initiation. What about the Tosfos Arid? The Chazon Ish wants to suggest that the Tosfos Arid learns like Rashi, that although the Kiddushin could have happened without her had she kept quiet, it wasn't really by his kicho, because the kicho means doing the whole thing himself. And here there's an element of tilokach. There's an element of her being taken by him. Because imagine, let's imagine for a moment, he puts the ring on the table. They're talking about marriage, he puts the ring on the table. And she takes the ring and says, Hareini Mekudeshes Lecho. Let's say she did both. She takes the ring, not that she gave the ring, which is the case the Gemara discussed. Let's say she takes his ring. And she says, Hareini Mekudeshes Lecho. And he says, great, fantastic, let's have a l'chaim. He's happy with it. He doesn't resist it or oppose it in any way. What's the problem there? The problem there is it was tilokoch. She was taken. He lands up marrying her. He lands up getting her. But it was passive. Now, if the passivity is in either portion, that's not good according to Rashi. Tilokoch means that she is taken, whether the portion that she is passively taken is in the ring giving, or the portion that she is passively taken is in the statement. In either case, that's problematic. That's not a good kicho. And therefore, the Chazon Ish says the Tosfos Rid learns like Rashi. The Tosfos Rid doesn't want there to be any passivity. The Tosfos Rid wants ki yikach in the action, and ki yikach in the wording. He must take her with an action. He must take her in the words. If she added the words of kichan, it's true that the marriage could have been okay without it. But by her saying that, it shows that he didn't use his words to seduce her. That isn't kicho. Where she volunteers to be taken, that's not taking. That's not kicho. That's receiving. She says, "Here, I'm yours," and he says, "Thank you. I'll take you." That's not really kicho. That's kabbalah. He's being mekabel her. And marriage is not about being mekabel. Marriage is not about passively accepting. Marriage is about taking. The woman wants to be taken by the man. Wants to be captivated, captured by the man in every way. That's what it needs to be. And if she says, Hareini mekudeshes loch, she's actually deprived him of that moment of taking her. She's stepped into the vacuum that he created in his silence. And by stepping into that vacuum, she's caused it to be a tilokoch and not a loitikach. So we have, right through the sugya, clearly these two views. It starts off with a minute or apparently minute difference between Rashi and the Rashbo as to whether the problem with the woman saying is that it's tilokoch, as Rashi says, or it's takiach esatzmo, as the Rashbo says. That translates into a halachic difference in a particular case where they're discussing marriage. She says, Hareini mekudeshes, he gives the ring. And in that situation, we have a machlokes Tosfos Rosh and Tosfos Rid. The Chazanish says the reason for the machlokes is that the Tosfos HaRosh learns like the Rashbo, and the Tosfos HaRid learns like Rashi. What is interesting, just before we finish off, I am finishing off early today. The interesting thing is in the Rashi, in the way we've got the Rashi, because our Rashi says Dami letikach isha leish. And that, as we said, is quoted differently by the Rashbo and the Tosfos HaRosh, and in various girsas of Rashi, the same applies. That the girsa in Rashi is dami letilakach isho tilakach isho leish, that she gets taken to a man rather than that a man takes her. But if you look at the way we've got it, dami letikach isho leish, what Rashi might be saying here in our version is this is like a woman taking a man. Woman says, Hareini mekudesh is loch, and she says the amir of Omrohi, Dami, letikach isho leish. This is a woman taking a man. And if that's what Rashi is saying, then he's possibly saying something much more aligned with the Rashbo than we have, because the Rashbo believes that Rashi uses the tilakach as the problem. And the Rashbo and the Tosfos HaRosh ask on Rashi because of that. But in the way we've got Rashi, Rashi might in fact be saying something very simple, similar to the Rashbo. It's not for her to take him, it's for him to take her. So if we want to look at the full spectrum, there are actually three stages in the spectrum. The one is ki tikach isho leish, the way we've got it in Rashi. That's where the woman is the most aggressive. She takes the man. That's not okay. Then the second one, we've got all the, or it's a Sofek Yiddushin or whatever. Then we've got the way that the Rashbo learns in Rashi, which is ki tilokoch isho leish, which is in that in some way or other he's too passive. Although he's doing it all, he marries her, but there's a past portion of it which is not his kicho. He's not doing it all the way. And then there's the Rashbo's, which is ki takiach. She initiates the action. He takes her, but it's through her initiation, and that's not sufficient. And then there's the correct way to do it at the end, which is ki yikach ish isho, where the whole taking is the man's. He takes her with action. He takes her with words. He's a man of action. He's a man of words. He's a real man. That's what a man is. A man is somebody who can take, who knows what he wants, and knows where he's going, knows how to take it in a way that is not by force, is not by compulsion, but where he can persuade and use his powers of both his material powers and his verbal powers to be able to persuade the other party to give of themselves with all their heart. That's the role of the man in this transaction. So that's the beauty of the whole relationship that emerges from this otherwise technical discussion that we've had. And then that leads into the next piece of Gemara, not surprisingly. If you just look at the next piece of Gemara, Omar Shmuel b'kiddushin nos lalo kesev v'shova kesev omar arayat mekudeshes harini mirus harini intoariz mekudeshes harini ishech, etc., etc. Gemara is going to go into some interesting stuff. But the important part that I just want to point out, and we'll go into it in greater detail next week, Yemetz Hashem, is five lines from the bottom at the end of the line. Omar le Rav Papa la Abaya, le Meimra de Sova Shmuel Yadayim Shein Mechichus Havyan Yadayim. He wants to learn from this whole sugya of Kiddushin. He wants to learn an opinion of Shmuel with respect to the din of Yodayim in the Dorim. Yodayim in the Dorim is an idea that we'll talk about next week. Yodayim in the Dorim, a yad in a neder, is if a phrase, let me take a step back, and the Dorim is one of the mesechtas that goes most deeply, probably is the mesechta that goes most deeply into interpretation of words. Into what do you mean by words? Because when you make a neder, there has to be a great deal of clarity. And how far are we permitted to interpret and to give contextual meaning to what somebody says? And how far must it be worded out in every detail? And we have the idea of a yad in the Dorim, which is if a person says something that isn't completely explicit, but it's the essence of it, and you just have to add a little bit, and it's called a yad, which is like a handle. Yad not like hand, but the yad meaning a handle. So if you're holding a cap by the handle, that's called a yad, which means you're not actually holding the cap. If you hold a glass, you're holding the glass itself. If you're holding a cap, you hold the ear of the cap or the handle of the cap. You're not really holding the cap, but because you're holding the handle, the cap comes with it. So that's the idea of a yad in the Dorim. A handle is what we call it. So you can make a statement which is a handle for a bigger statement. And as long as it's very clear what you're saying, what the bigger statement is, according to some Amoraim, that's valid. And the Gemara wants to learn all of that from this piece of hearing Kiddushin. All that I want to point out at this stage is the flow of the Gemara from Kiddushin into Nedarim. And although we've talked that the Gemara works in a hyperlinking kind of way, often when the Gemara is onto an idea and there's a kind of hyperlinks to another idea, much like when one does on the internet, but the difference is in the Gemara there's very often a more fundamental connection. It's not just a coincidental hyperlink of some similar word that's used in both places. There's some deeper meaning in it here too. And it's interesting that now that we've come to the conclusion that there's meaning in this Harayat Mekudeshesli, it's not just a clarification of intent, and it's not just a it plays a part in the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin doesn't work without this. It is almost like Nedarim. It is almost like Hekdesh. Therefore, it makes sense that we can transition into a discussion about Nedarim in a quite a seamless fashion. We're not really moving into a completely different concept and a completely different mesechta, and we can try and learn one idea from the other because there is overlap now that we've established that there's what the meaning of the words Harayat Mekudeshesli really is. So that's where I'll leave it to today, and look forward to learning with you again next week. I'm going to end the recording, and again, if anybody wants to stay online, please feel free to do that.